and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards, and we are here to elevate our lives through better habits, mindset shifts at every age. And I am so excited. I'm fangirling a bit today because of our guests. So I'm super stoked that you're here because I think I was a little late to the party with her book. But you know what? Everything arrives at the right time that it's supposed to. And it sure did for me. So I am so stoked. So welcome today. And welcome to our guest, Una Duncan. Una is the best-selling author of Healthy as Fuck and the CEO of Fit Feels Good and an award-winning trainer and fitness expert. And Una, I could probably meet J-Lo and fangirl less, like, because I'm really excited to meet you. So excited that you said yes. Thank you. And welcome.
Oh, dude, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for yes. asking.
Yeah, absolutely. So on New Year's Day, I had kind of a hard year last year, just in like a lot of weird ways. Like I experienced just some shifts in my career, my feet hurt, you know, it's just weird shit. And I really wanted to commit. I love New Year's Day and I love New Year's and I love lists and resolutions and all that. And so New Year's Day, I was traveling, but I was like, I'm hitting the gym here in this hotel. And I hopped on the treadmill and I just looked through my Audible at what I had. And your book was something that I had put in my library. And I was like, I'm turning it on right now. And so your voice was walking with me and it was exactly the kick that I needed because it's so many things that I already knew and I already believed in my heart, but your sense of humor, the way you phrase things, how succinctly you put things just gave me that kick that I needed. And I know that that's a big part of your message. It's about changing the habits, not just going on a diet. And that I needed to tap back into that for myself. So thank you for that.
And, oh my gosh.
And there's so much in the book too that I want to get to today, but I know you wrote the book a few years ago and maybe some people listening before we delve into how it affected me and some questions I have around it. I wondered what your evolution has been like since it came out and how it has fulfilled you and what you have learned since then.
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Yeah, it's so funny when you publish traditionally, it takes, after you're done writing the book, it takes about 2 years for it to hit the public. So yeah. I wrote that book probably in like 2016, 2017. It came out in 2019, really, you know, massive wave of it in 2020 when there was lockdown and everyone was worried about their habits and all that sort of stuff. So it's funny. There's a few parts. I can tell you what I regret a little bit about it. I wrote it very specifically to talk to people who are my beloved clients that I love so much. I really did write it. I wrote it mostly as blog posts to talk to my clients in a way of like kind of delivering some tough love without really like signaling anyone out. And so it was really meant for these people who are mostly women in their 40s and 50s. And so it's really meant for like Gen X women. And since then, for some reason, I don't know how this happened, it is in the Audible category. If you have Audible Plus, it's a free download, which is just amazing. So the reach on this book has been absolutely incredible. But the thing is that almost every day I get emails from men saying, I wish that I didn't feel excluded by this because you keep calling me girl or you make these references to me being a woman. So that's one regret that I've had. The other thing is that I hear a lot from women, Gen X women who have teenagers and maybe especially teenage boys saying, I wish that you had written something for younger people that didn't talk about, you know, sex and drugs so much. You know, there's a lot of adult humor in the book that they maybe don't want their kids to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, has that led you to speak to those audiences or maybe cultivate that?
Well, I mean, the thing is that who I love and who I serve the most are women in their 40s and 50s.
Right.
And, you know, Amy, I'm sure you've done all this work in your business too. Like you talk to a very specific audience and you know them and you love them. And when I'm talking, like I am fucking talking to you. I'm assuming I can swear. Is that okay?
Hell yes. It's okay. Fine. And you know what? That's what right before we got on, you said, who's your audience you're talking to? And I wanted to go like me, you know, that's partly why what you write resonated so hard with me. Cause I'm like your target market at like big time. I'm as Gen X
exactly.
as I get. Yeah,
exactly. So when I was writing this, I'm like thinking about Amy. I'm like picturing Amy on the treadmill on New Year's Day, you know, this is the person I got to talk to and I got to get through to. So I still think that that's the way that I want to live and the way that I want to present. And if other people are listening in, like their husbands, like their kids, like whoever, then, oh my gosh, you know, arms wide open.
Yeah.
I'm still going to talk to Amy because that is who I serve.
Yeah. And you know what? My fiance is a millennial, and you know, I was able to share a lot with him and like how it was speaking to me. So I think it still resonates a lot. And you know, the happier us Gen X women are, the better the world is, frankly.
I mean, honestly, who's making this world go round?
Come on. Okay. So one thing that struck me in your book that I really liked, well, actually, before I get to that, I wanted to say, I really like your definition of wellness. So I don't know if you'd like to me to say verbatim what you said it as, or you've probably got it on lock, but I love your definition of wellness because it's so much of what I'm about. It's not so like hard defined. Would you like to say it or would you like me to?
You go for it. You go for it.
You said your definition of wellness is one that you learned when you were a fitness trainer. You're going through fitness training education. And it was the search for enhanced quality of life, personal growth, and potential through positive lifestyle behaviors and attitudes. So it was about quality of life as the ultimate goal. And it's about growth. And it talks about your mental state and your attitude. And that I thought was so poignant because it's about this evolution and which you've even had since the book came out, you know, like, of course. Of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I love that definition. And actually, I learned that definition because I was teaching the course that certifies new personal trainers. So I would be, you know, teaching this course and everybody comes in. You know, it was so sweet. The people who could take the course. I mean, I had like, you know, middle-aged women who were yoga girls who wanted to like, you know, make this their new full-time thing. I had new Canadians who were physicians in Brazil and India, and this is their fastest certification. I had a lot of like meathead bro kind of guys who were super cute. And anyway, but they all come in and we just had to unite on this one vision of what do we actually want to do in the world? And it's that the thing that I love about that definition is a couple of things. One, it encourages a growth mindset. It's not an endpoint. It's not a certain amount of body fat. It's not a certain amount of push-ups from your toes. It is this search for enhanced quality of life. And I love that it is physical and mental, for sure. Because,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In the book, I talk about it. This is all in your head. So much of this is a mental
thing. Because I think sometimes we can set those goals like X number on the scale or this number of pushups or whatever it is, but it's getting past that to like, why, what's that going to bring you, right? Yeah. What do you think that's going to bring you and the psychology underneath it?
Well, the thing is that I think that it's all about happiness. So I called my company Fit Feels Good because feeling good is the ultimate outcome that we want. And no matter what goal you have, whether it's making $1 million or losing 10 pounds or whatever, finding your soulmate, all of that, you want it because you think of because the way you think it's going to make you feel,
going to
make you feel good. And so the reason I call my company that is because Fit Feels Good. Yes, of course, it feels good to be fit, but also feeling good is the only way by which we will get there. So I'm all about training for the feelings that you want. If you think you're going to feel sexy and confident and, you know, vital and alive and whatever when you're at your goal weight, for example, then, dude, you need to practice feeling sexy and confident and vital and alive right fucking now in this body that you have. Because if you don't, A, you're probably never going to get there. And I can talk more about that in a second. Two, if by some miracle you did manage to lose the 10 pounds or whatever, and you have never practiced those feelings of feeling sexy and alive and blah, 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 you're not going to be able to access them. That would be like trying to do a like one-armed pull-up when you've never even carried your fucking groceries before. You do not have the muscle strength to do it. You don't have those neural pathways to access those feelings if you've never practiced them. So what you're going to do is you're going to look at yourself in the mirror at that 10 pounds lighter, and you're going to find something else. You're going to find some other reason if you've only ever practiced bullying yourself and discontent and disappointment and all those feelings, you're going to find a way to access those feelings at whatever weight you are. So that's why I'm like, no matter what, we've got to figure out what is the feeling that you want. And we got to practice that right now. And that is not letting yourself off the hook. This is what everyone thinks. They think, yeah, but Oda, come on. Like, I have to look in the mirror and think, oh, you have let yourself go. This is unacceptable. You were going on a diet tomorrow. Like, and they think that this boot camp sergeant tactic, that they, if they shame and blame themselves, then they will be motivated to be good. And that is the opposite. It is the opposite, because what's going to, you're going to feel like shit. And then when people feel like shit, they use their coping mechanisms. And if you were overweight, there's a good chance that your coping mechanisms are overeating, overdrinking, et cetera, et cetera, not serving you towards this goal, right? And it's just not going to work. There is so much research on this, that when people feel like crap about themselves, they are more likely to engage in the behaviors that make them feel like crap about themselves. It's a horrible spiral. So we've got to interrupt it right now by practicing these feelings of feeling good.
Yeah.
And I could go on about that.
No, I want you to, because, and you're practicing the negatives, like, which I have done. I mean, I could win a medal, you know, I ruminated and I didn't realize I was, but I was practicing those negative thoughts over and over and over. And like, so it just like flips on its head what you just said, you know, it flips like that around. You're practicing being an asshole to yourself. You're practicing bullying yourself. And so what are you going to do? Well, you're really good at that, you know? Yeah. And so that's what you have to flip around. And I think that's interesting too, from a concept of affirmations, because I'm a big affirmation fan, and that that just practices those truths. And that was hard for me to grasp for a long time, because I thought, oh, I'm just lying to myself, right? And and you think you're taking the easy path, but it's A, not easy. And it's also, it's just, you are what you practice, which is fundamental.
Totally, totally. And the thing is that, I don't know if you feel the same about your affirmations practice, but, you know, a lot of people say, okay, well, all right, I'm supposed to love myself the way I am. I got it. And then they're like, but then they're looking in the mirror and they're like, Una, I just can't. I can't look at myself naked in the mirror and be like, I'm looking good. Like, if I've never ever been able to have those feelings, there's too much of a leap. And that's true. That would be like trying to do push-ups on your toes and you've just never even done one on your knees. Like, you're not there yet. So what I will tell people to do is pick the next best thought that is somewhat believable to you. So if you can't, for example, look at yourself naked in the mirror and be like, shit, girl looks good, then can you look at yourself you know, from the boobs up and think like, oh, I have awesome cleavage? Can you be like, this lipstick is flattering on me? My legs look good in heels. Like, whatever is just makes you feel a little bit better that doesn't feel like total bullshit. And then you're just going to keep expanding your reach of what doesn't feel like bullshit that's actually good and makes you feel good. And that is building that is the most important muscle you can build. And I'm coming at this from like, I fucking love building muscle. Like, I'm not bullshitting you guys here. I'm saying this is the way it's got to work.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's those baby steps of being nice to yourself. Like, why not just start small? Just like, it doesn't really matter. Just start. I had this guest last year, and he was on the show and I was on his. His name is Kaylor Betts. And Kaylor's great. I really enjoyed our show together, but we come from very different schools of thought. And he really challenged me on a lot of the things that I espouse. And one of them was, He absolutely stood firm on the die on this hill that he bullied himself into self-improvement. And he challenged me on that. Like, he says you can't love yourself into it, like the exact opposite of what you and I are saying, you're saying. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't really know how to counter that, you know. I guess as a podcast host too, I let people talk, but I did my best. But what would you say to someone who swears like, oh, I hated myself so much that I finally changed it? Like, what would you say to that?
Well, here's the thing. I think people we're kind of talking about different things here. So for one thing, you do need to connect with the pain. So this is a Tony Robbins quote. No one will ever change until the pain of staying the same is greater. It hurts so much to be the way you are right now that you are going to face the pain of changing. So until that pain of staying the same is even more than the pain of change, no one will change. Everyone likes status quo. It's got to be painful to stay the way you are right now. Otherwise, why would you change, right? So you need to connect to the pain of staying the way you are right now. This has to be, like, you know, one of the chapters in my book is called, you know, you've got to find the fucks. Like, if you don't give enough of a fuck, oh my God, drop this, right? Drop this. If this doesn't mean a lot to you, there are so many things that you could spend your beautiful life force on. And if losing the last 10 pounds is not that important to you, oh my God, drop it, right? So I'm like, you have to find the fucks. Find the fucks. And it has to really mean something to you. And that does involve some pain of staying the way that, of things staying the way they are right now. Like if you project out and think, okay, if I don't change my habits at all, if my fitness continues on the trajectory that it's on right now, what's that going to look like in a year? How about a year from that? How about 10 years? How about, and if you picture mm-hmm. that and you're like, oh God, that's important. Like you need to connect to that because here's the deal. It's like that emotion is going to fuel you to get the fuck off the couch. Now, once you're the fuck off the couch, this is why, and I get this pushback too, Amy, so I'm really glad you brought it up. Someone said on my Instagram the other day, they're like, David Goggins hated himself. Do you know David Goggins, right?
There you go. Yeah. This is the same. Yeah. This is the mindset that I'm talking about. So yeah.
Totally. So it is a great fuel. It's like rocket fuel to get you to sign up for the course, to, you know, go on a cleanse or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It gets you to do these like big actions. But what the problem is, if you stay in that mode, then what you're going to do is you're going to go on the cleanse, you're going to sign up for the marathon or whatever, you're going to go balls out. And then it's good. And then if you keep beating yourself up, then it's just going to feel bad. And then you're going to retract back to the way you were, to what feels more comfortable, because it feels less bad than you beating yourself up and running. You know, what feels better, beating yourself up on the couch or beating yourself up and running? You're going to choose beating yourself up on the couch. But if you start, if you get so angry about it and you're so ready to go and you project out and you're like, fuck this, never again, I'm changing, today is the day, let's fucking do this. You get up, you go run. And then when you're running, even though you will be shit because you haven't run for a while, and then you go like, yes, that's it. I'm on my way. I feel so good. Yay me. If you do that, then that's when the self-love comes in. That's when the feeling good comes in. But if you went for that run and you were like, oh, I can't believe I've let myself get so out of shape. I suck. Oh my God. Like I hate this. Can I just wait for this to be over? And you keep doing that. Well, then the running's never going to get better. You're never going to develop a habit loop because habit loops are based on reward. So we can talk about that now if you want.
Yeah, let's do. Whatever comes next, whatever flows, I'm here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. People like, and we've already mentioned this word before, this word motivation, right? Like I just need more motivation. And that is absolutely fucking bullshit. You do not need motivation. Motivation is that one rocket launch that you get off the couch. And I think everyone listening has had that moment and then it kind of fades away. This is why most New Year's resolutions are done by mid-February max, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's great. That's motivation. Okay, so that's great to get you off the couch. But what's going to sustain you and make you become a fit person versus someone who's always caught in that diet roller coaster of cleansing or signing mm-hmm. up for the marathon and then going back, blah, blah, blah. You want to be a fit person. You want to be someone who just like is naturally exercising, naturally chooses healthy foods, doesn't think about it. It's like a complete no-brainer. It's just who they are. And one test that I do for this, by the way, when people are like, oh no, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And I'm like, okay, are you going to be doing that lifestyle 3 Tuesdays from now? And if they're like, oh, I don't know, like I might be traveling or, you know, it might be really busy. And I'm like, well, then it's a diet and that's fine. Everyone's been on a diet. It's okay. But when you have real habits, they become who you are. So if you said, are you going to be, you know, a vegan 3 months from now, you'd be like, yeah, that's who I am. Or are you going to eat healthy 3 Tuesdays from now? You'd be like, of course, I always eat healthy. That's a no-brainer. It's like mm-hmm. asking somebody, are you going to brush your teeth 3 days from now? You'd be like, yeah, I will find a way. It doesn't matter. That's not conditional. So this is what we want to be with our healthy selves. It's not conditional. It's just who we are. And the only way that that happens is if it's a habit. And the only way we build habits is if they feel rewarding. Every mm-hmm. habit that you do, there's some part of you that feels rewarded by that. If you are a regular teeth brusher, it's because you have conditioned yourself to like, wow, I like that fuzzy. I like that not fuzzy, minty feeling of my teeth. You know, like you're getting a little hit from it every time. Mm-hmm. So there's a trigger, right? This is what sets off the habit. And this could be a time of day. It could be an emotion. It could be a person. It could be anything, right? Then you have the habit. So that's the actual behavior. This could be going for a run or, you know, pouring yourself a glass of wine or whatever. And then you've got a reward. So if this is a habit, you're always getting a reward, always. That could be the minty fresh feeling after the teeth, or it could be feelings of endorphins and self-satisfaction after you go for that run. Or it could be like, oh, the decompress after the glass of wine. You're always getting a reward. And every time you repeat that loop, the trigger happens, the behavior happens, then the reward, you're strengthening that loop until you don't even have to think about it. It moves into the automatic part of your brain and you never have to think about it again. And that's where we want to get our healthy habits like exercise. And it's not going to get there if it doesn't feel rewarding. You will always need motivation if it doesn't feel rewarding. So when people are like, I just need more motivation, I'm like, no, you don't. Just like bribe yourself, make this more fun. Your job is to figure out how to make this more fun and more rewarding. And then you won't ever have to have motivation again because you'll just keep doing it because it feels rewarding.
Yeah. One of the things that you differentiate that I really liked in your book is the difference between pleasure and happiness. And I feel like in the last year or two, pleasure is just having a moment. And it's like, maybe it's just in my algorithm. I don't know, but I follow a lot of sexual influencers. I don't know that that's the right term, but they are all about women's pleasure and living in pleasure and manifesting through pleasure, you know, all that stuff. And so I feel like, but I feel like what you were talking about was that difference between pleasure and happiness. So I thought maybe you could speak to that for a minute because I thought it really hit for me. And I was like, because I guess sometimes when it's all about living in pleasure, it's like, that's maybe not realistic. So what does happiness look like then, you know?
Totally. Oh, I love that you brought this up. This is such an important distinction. And I want to be clear, like, I love pleasure, super pro pleasure. There are so many people out there who are denying themselves pleasure for no fucking reason. Like, you have one life on this planet. Oh my gosh, of course it should be pleasurable.
Yeah.
And you don't want your pleasure to interfere with your with your happiness, right? And so here's ways that you can kind of find the distinction. So if something is pleasurable, it's often something external. Like it's eating the ice cream. It's like, you know, someone gave you a compliment. It's like hitting 100,000 followers on Instagram or whatever, right? Like these are things that are external. The guy texted you back. Like they're external things. Whereas happiness tend to be internal things like an appreciation for the ice cream, for example, right? Instead of the physiological like sugar, fat, yum, 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 right? Like it's actually like, oh, this is, I'm really enjoying this moment kind of thing. Internal confidence, like you don't even need the fucking compliment. Someone says you look great. You're like, oh, I feel great. You know, it's that's internal. Like I can't think of the other examples I gave. The other example is that pleasure things, when they are external, they also tend to be diminished returns. Like the ice cream that used to satisfy you, you actually need a little bit more to get the same hit. 100,000 followers on Instagram, you're like, whatever, that's shit compared to so-and-so's Instagram, whatever, right? The guy texts you back, but like he's not paying enough attention to you or whatever. Like it tends to be like you need more and more to get the same hit. Whereas happiness, it actually grows on its own. If you have like appreciation and you delve into that, then you just feel more and more like it self-amplifies. So it's a really different kind of feeling, that self-amplification. Also, pleasure is finite. Like it goes, it's gone the next day. You get the pleasure of, you know, getting new clothes or whatever, versus happiness tends to grow over time and amplify over time. So these are sort of the differences. And I'm not against pleasure. Yes to the guy texting you back. Yes to all the fame and fortune that you absolutely fucking deserve. The only problem is when it comes to the cost of your happiness. So if you're indulging in pleasure, but it's taking away. So the like classic example is like drinking alcohol. Drinking alcohol gives you a hit of pleasure. It's awesome. For 20 minutes, you are like, your dopamine's like, I love this. It's the best idea I've ever had, right? And then what happens is that your dopamine will then needs to regulate back to norm. So it actually dips down. And then it's not the best idea you've ever had. As we all know, like we've all done this before. So this is the difference between pleasure and happiness. Whereas happiness is, you know, going for a run, spending time with loved ones, laughing, like that sort of thing. And it just, it amplifies and you don't have that dip afterwards.
This podcast is sponsored by Wands. Wands creates luxurious pleasure practice tools that help people become more connected to their bodies. They have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, the most gorgeous crystal pleasure wands you've ever seen, free bleed blankets, and my favorites, the trademarked glass cervix wand and the Venus wand, which is their heaviest wand made of stainless steel, and their new ecstatic vibrator. This company is woman-owned and creates products designed to help you become more connected to your body and your pleasure and support the healing of pelvic pain. Get yours today in their always discreet packaging at wands.com. That's wands with two A's, WAANDS.com. And use my link in the show notes to get 10% off or enter the code Amy Edwards at checkout. Again, that's wands, WAANDS.com. The Amy Edwards Show is sponsored in part by Higher Dose. Higher Dose creates wellness tech for everyone with tools, supplements, and body care. And I have 15% off for you with my code MAGIC15. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, and more. I have their infrared pulsed electromagnetic field, or PEMF, mat, which emits electromagnetic waves that mimic natural frequencies found in nature, stimulating and encouraging your body's natural recovery process. It also has 20 pounds of crystals in it and has shown to ease chronic pain, aid in exercise recovery and circulation, deepen your meditations, reduce stress, and improve total body relaxation. I also love their red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft and easy to use in store and even travel with. I'm a true fan of these items and more, like their glow serum. So I'm excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there. Or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 for 15% off. HigherDose.com. This podcast is sponsored by The Collective ATX. If you're looking for the best in hair extensions, it's The Collective ATX. They do mine, and I won't go anywhere else. I've tried them all over the years, and finally, I've found what makes my real hair stronger and fuller, and even works with my natural curl. They keep all their extensions in-house, so there's no wait, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods. Plus, they're pros at color and covering gray. I have literally never in my life been happier with my color. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX, link is in the show notes. Well, since you brought up alcohol, how's your journey with alcohol been? And what have you noticed in your own habits, in your own life?
Oh my gosh, this is such a good question for me right now, because I'm just coming to the end of a 3-month of no alcohol experiment. Ooh. So I had been,
I've done it. So I'm almost to 2 years. I just kept going.
Amazing.
2 years.
Amazing. I had done 2 years before. Ooh. And then, you know, Amy, I fell off the wagon, but like I did a backflip off that wagon. It was so funny because I was so excited about my sober lifestyle. I was really into it. It felt like a core part of my identity. And then it's so funny because the way it happened was I have a friend who was a hardcore vegan. And then I went out, met her a couple of years later, and she ordered some meat. And I was just surprised, no judgment, just surprised because she was so hardcore about it. And I said, wow, you know, tell me about that. What happened? And she said, that she was, I don't know what she kind of got into, but she had this like big ceremony with the animal and like she really revered it and circle of life and she blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and I just decided that I would eat meat, but only in these like special circumstances. And then she's like, and fast forward a week and it's fucking chicken nuggets.
Right.
Which is funny. Like when the boundaries break, they can break pretty hard. And anyway, so that's what happened with me with alcohol. And then now I'm pulling back again.
Well, what was the difference? Like, so you did it and then you didn't. And like, I don't know. I like it. I like viewing everything as an experiment. So like, you know, you're kind of like, okay, how do I feel like this? How do I feel like this? What's best serving me? That kind of thing. So what'd you notice?
Yeah. So what I believe for, and I'm still open to inquiry on this, but I will say that this no alcohol experiment has felt great. And I don't think that I need to be all or nothing about this. I think that I did before, definitely, and it really served me to have that clear boundary. You know, we talk about people who are abstainers versus people who are moderators. Have you heard about this theory before?
Since sure. Kind of
Gretchen Rubin. Yeah. So some people do well of being like, oh, you know, I'm fine to have like 3 fries. And some people are like, oh no, there's fucking fries there. Like I'm fucking eating. I have to have no fries or all the fries.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that a lot of people identify as that all or nothing, but I think getting out of that all or nothing really serves people, especially on a fitness journey. Because fitness is not like a on and off switch. Like, I'm on vacation. What? Like, I'm going to ditch all my healthy habits or whatever. Like, that's actually just going to make you feel like shit. It can be a knob that you dial up or down. You know, on vacation, you dial it down. Maybe stressful times, you dial it down. But you don't flip it off. Flipping it off is just not going to serve you. So yeah. I think that learning to be a moderator is something that serves a lot of people. And so now the next journey for me in alcohol is really deciding what my moderation can look like. Yeah.
Yeah. Like viewing everything as a spectrum more, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Like, I like that, not turning it off or on, but viewing it more like, oh, I dialed it down, I dial it back up, you know, and then you're still who you are. You're just like, I'm a little bit skewing this way and now I'm going, you know, whatever the other one is.
Totally. And I also, Amy, I should say, like, if anyone
please
is listening to this and thinking that my moderation experiment with alcohol is like a health recommendation, I would say, no, like, alcohol is fucking poison. Just so everyone's clear, it's really, really, really bad for you always, even in moderation. So I'll just say that as well.
Yeah. And you know what? You brought up vegan. I know in the book you are adhering to a vegan diet in the book and talking about that. And are you still, or like, what is your personal diet like?
Yeah, to still whole food plant-based, which is something I'm, you know, if I'm going to be a persnickety food person, that's the terminology that I would prefer, because
vegans
would say, you know, would also not wear leather or would not have honey, like
I was just thinking of honey. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. But I do prefer not to eat animal products. And you know what? I wasn't like that when I started writing the book. I had been vegetarian for years, and that happened not with any like health pursuit. It was it was part of a meditation course. I just had this like really personal spiritual epiphany that was absolutely unwelcome. I can tell you about that if you're interested, but
I'm interested. Yeah.
Well, I took a meditation for artists course because I was an actor at the time. And part of it, anyone who's familiar with Jon Kabat-Zinn meditation will know about this. You have to take a raisin and really look at the raisin and study it and then like take a little bite and really feel how it feels in your mouth and taste it and really like be curious about the raisin. And from that exercise, then we graduated to having a mindful meal. So I had this homework of having a mindful meal. And I cooked I was really proud of this meal. It was a lamb curry with like apricots and walnuts. It was so like, oh, I was so proud of it. And I thought I was like quite the foodie at the time. And so I sat down and I was like, okay, so here's my thing. And I picked it up and I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, I'm fucking awesome. Look, I made that. And then I was like, all right, this is lamb. This was a lamb. This was an actual lamb. And I just started to think like it was an individual lamb, like a specific lamb that had its specific life journey, whatever it was. It had a mother. Anyway, if anyone's listening to this and being like, fuck off, vegan, I don't want to hear this. I'll just say that's what happened to me. And I was so disdainful of vegetarians at the time that I was like, oh, shake that off. Okay, let's eat my delicious curry. And I ate it and it was like, I won't get into the graphics of it, but
it took the pleasure away.
Wow. Oh no, it was like absolutely repulsive. And I was like, no. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to be a vegetarian. And so I was like, all right, let's revisit this tomorrow. And I went, I looked at it and I was like, oh no, I'm done. It was just like, whoa, done. No part of my body could ever do it again, even though I was like so pissed about it. And anyway, so I'd been vegetarian for about 10 years when I wrote the book. And then and I knew that I would have to probably make some sort of nutritional stance on that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, them's fighting words. I don't know. I better get someone else to back me up on this. So I hired a researcher with a PhD that fact check everything in the book. So that like, because that's my background is not academia. It's being a trainer and helping people achieve body transformations. So I was like, can you just go through it and make sure I'm not saying anything that's bullshit or that's not
right,
backed up by absolutely the latest evidence. I could be out of date. That's totally just so fine. And then when she came back with the plant-based stuff, she said, you know, actually, like, it's not vegetarian, it's veganism, like whole food plant-based. That's really, and I was like, oh God, really? Like, and then when I looked into the research of that, I was like, shit, that is much healthier. And it was, again, unwelcome. So that's what I'll say about that.
You know, the common thread, though, that's interesting about what you just said about the lamb and about the habits is that it's about really diving into the intentionality and getting really present with what you're doing. Whether it's like, okay, if I really focus on how I'm sitting on this couch and how much time I'm spending on it, what's it look like in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? What is my body doing? You know, it's that same, like, just putting yourself really in it. Like, you really thought about that lamb. And like, that's what we just tend to brush off so much. I'm thinking of some other instances in my life. I have been a spokesperson for less people dying by gun violence, right? And school shootings really got to me, and mass shootings. And one of the things about that was I really took time to imagine what it was like in that scenario. Like, when you sit and think about anything, it can hit home in a whole different way. It's not hard to do. We're just so fucking busy that we don't do it a lot. And so you took the time about the raisin, about the lamb. Mm-hmm. And you know, your whole life changed, really, like in an instant.
In an instant. Yeah.
In an instant. True. And that's what you're saying too about these habits. Like, that's the pain. That's the thing. Like, that's how intentional do you want to get with your life to be really healthy and happy, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that a lot of people think, oh my gosh, like to achieve my fitness goal is going to take so long, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, dude, that shit happens in an instant. The instant you decide I am a healthy person as of right fucking now, that's the moment. It's not when you achieve a 20-pound weight loss or whatever. It's the moment that you decide. And it is a full body knowing and everything changes from this moment. And that can happen right fucking now.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can we do that for everyone right now?
Well, that's what you do for yourself. I mean, oh, yeah, you do it. I mean, I have the exercise in the book, right? Where I say,
I can't remember, but yes, I'm sure you do. The book is so good. If anybody wants to listen to it, I highly recommend. And obviously, it's maybe that's why it was on Audible for me. Maybe that's why I had downloaded it. Cause, like,
yeah, probably. Yeah. I
love that. That's so accessible. And it's so true. It's so true. It's a decision.
Yeah.
Like the lamb.
It happens like that. But it's a decision. Like, it can't be it's a decision that you know in your soul, in your gut. Like, you really do have to be present with it. Like you said, take the time to really think about what are the consequences. And now what are the consequences if I follow this fork in the road? And who do I want to be? And you got to feel that. It should feel like every cell in your body is like, yep, this is it.
It turns into I can't not
yeah,
do
that's
it.
Right.
Like, that's how
right.
I felt about thinking about like school shootings and stuff. And like, once I did it, once I went there was no turning back.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And like, when you view other things through that lens, that's interesting. Like, it's so interesting to think, oh, like, I can't go back. Like, I'm really facing X, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you were pissed to be a vegetarian, but there you are.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. You know, it kind of happened for me like that too. I had toyed with it a little, but then in like 2011 or 12, I read a book, Jonathan Safran Foer's Eating Animals. And it was just an expose about, you know, what we're really doing to animals. And I'm so sensitive to animals. I just like animals. Like, I love their little faces. And, you know, and I just, once I read that, I was like, well, I can't look away now, you know, I gotta do my part essentially. And do you think that living your potential and accessing the magnificence of your human experience is doing your part? Like, do you think that's an essential part of being human and having this experience?
Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, my company, when I go over the mission with my people all the time, with my team, I'm like, right now, about 50% of women in North America are currently on a diet to lose weight that is doomed to fail and make them feel like shit about themselves. Oof. Right? We believe everyone deserves a simple system of healthy habits that makes them feel good. Because, dude, if you think about 50% of the amazing brain power, creativity, awesomeness of 50% of women in North America right now. And if we took all that energy, you know, I had a client the other day who said, that all day long, she has her brain goes work, 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 work. You're fat, work, work, fat, 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 work, work, work. That's all that's happening in her brain. And I'm like, if we can take away that fat, 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 just that is needling away and eroding the confidence, the power, the humor, the creativity, like all that stuff. And if we could unleash that instead, holy shit, look out world, right? It is absolutely. And then people get to live in their genius and people who get to express what they are. I just think that, I mean, that is a powerful force to unleash. And it is absolutely important to do so.
And the amount, just that too, the amount of brain power that we spend, you know what? I even do it, Una. I know that sometimes I'm thinking, wasting too much of my brain power on like some food thing or my weight. And like breaking those habits is challenging, but oh my God, when you think about the amount of brain power you're taking up by using that, that's like fueling that gas is fueling that when it can fuel your creativity. Right. And
it's like, pick your heart. Yes. Yeah. It's definitely hard to get rid of all the fat, 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 fat that's going through your mind all day. And it's also, you know, it's hard to live with it. And it's also hard to get up and deal with it. So pick your heart.
Pick your
heart. You want to live with the fat, 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 fat all day in your brain. And I'm not saying fat, fat, fat all on your body, because you can live with a larger than average body and be awesome and healthy and incredible. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the poison in our mind that is saying I'm living in a body that I don't like, that I don't feel reflects me. And that's why, like, I start the book with, and you said, like, even there's some shame about it, right? All of us have these, I will say all of us, a huge percentage of North American women have these thoughts all the time. And most of us are like smart as fuck and we're intelligent and we know that we should be over this. And we know that we're supposed to love ourselves and we're like identify as feminist and all that sort of stuff. And still there's this like little shame. It's like meta shame. We're shamed about the shame that we feel. And, you know, that's why I talk my chapter 3 in my book or whatever is like why you should totally go for this and go for a six pack, even if you have a women's studies degree. And I say, like, let's get rid of the shame of people wanting what they want for their bodies. That is your body and your only job is to love it exactly as it is and reach for the best potential that you see for yourself. And that can be different for everyone. That's it.
I'm glad you brought that up because you do talk about that in the book. And I liked it a lot that you talk about, you know, because so many times we'll make excuses for it. We'll make excuses. Oh, well, you know, I'm doing this like because, or you don't want to tell people because they'll try to talk you out of it.
Sure.
And you address all that. So yeah, like you were just mentioning, maybe you can speak to that for a moment.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's so funny because we are so covert about these things. Like a lot of people are kind of secretly on a diet. Mm-hmm. And they'll call it something else because it's not very fashionable to say I'm on a diet. Instead of just owning, you know, I am not happy with my current state of fitness or my current body composition and in making these changes to fix it. And now the number one thing everyone's going to say is they're going to be like, oh, hold on.
You
one
look
second.
Great.
Just be like,
cool. Yeah, what's wrong?
I just got a thing saying that my Mac's going to die.
Oh, God, I hate when that happens. Yeah. So stressful.
Sorry about that.
Good. No, no big deal at all.
Yeah. So then the next thing everyone's going to be like, oh, that's ridiculous. You don't need to lose weight, which is sweet. Of course, that person is trying to, you know, say you look fabulous and that they love you no matter what. And that's all great. And it's also not what you add. Like it's not their fucking business. You just said what you want for yourself and your life and your body.
Right.
And you know, the example I give in the book is like, imagine a woman said, I want to start a side business and make an extra 100K a year so I can go on fabulous vacations or buy a fancy car or whatever. Right. There's nothing altruistic about that. That's just like, I want fancier clothes, whatever.
Right.
And now imagine your friend was like, that's ridiculous. Your lifestyle is fine. You don't need that. Like, it's just completely dampening someone's ambitions when they just clearly told you, this is what I want. This is what lights me up. This is what I want to do with my life. And if someone's like, that's silly, you're fine. That's just not helpful at all. And it's not your fucking business.
Yeah. I know. And it's like a tough line when you're in it too, because last year I had gained weight and I knew I could see it when I looked at a picture of myself. I could see my face and I knew that I was so happy in so many ways. I'm in the best phase of my life, Una, really, truly, in my 50s. It's wild. But that piece of it, I knew, and I could see it on my face, and I knew my clothes weren't fitting, and I knew, but when I would tell people, they'd be like, you look great. What are you talking about? You're, you know, and it was just, you want to agree with that. Yes, I love myself, but I know that I can access this other part of me. I know that I can feel better if it feels good, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's really a strange position to be in too, when you're the recipient of it. Cause I kind of felt like sometimes I didn't know how to react. I should be happy.
Totally.
Why am I not?
Totally.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think what people are responding to there is that they hear that as an expression of self-hatred, which of course, if they love you, they're like, don't hate something that I love. Don't do that. I love you.
Oh, yeah. And that's
so it's
good.
A beautiful response.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, and this is going back to how you have to love yourself. This is why, and the best analogy I can make for this for people to understand how you can absolutely love yourself right now and want more for yourself. I say, imagine a little kid, right? If you have like an awesome little six-year-old, right? That six-year-old is so awesome and perfect exactly as they are. And you are so excited for them to grow and learn how to read and learn how
yes.
to ice skate or like do all these things. So like they are absolutely amazingly perfect exactly as they are. And there's so much exciting potential. And that's how you got to think of yourself. You can say like, I am so perfect and amazing right now. And oh my gosh, am I ever going places? So if you have any body composition goals, when you talk to your friends, if you do that in a like, oh, instead of being like, oh my God, I suck. I can't believe I've gained so much weight. I got to fix it. Then your friends are going to be like, don't talk about my beautiful friend like that. But if you were like, guess what? Oh my God, I'm so fucking awesome. And guess what else I'm going to do? Then they'll be much more likely to get on board and you are going to be more successful because that is the fucking vibe, my friends.
Yeah. Well said. That is so, you're so right. What a good perspective too, to remember that they're just protecting that thing that they love too, which is you.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's incredible. What is hard for you now? What do you notice as your potential and your growth? Like you've really honed these habits. They've become who you are. Where do you find those growth spaces now?
Oh, this is such a good question. So, you know, in the book, I talk about if you look down right now, your body is the result of your habits and your genetics. That's it. That's as simple as it is, right? And obviously, there's nothing you do with your genetics, but you can totally change your habits. So for the last few years, I've had my simple system of healthy habits that makes me feel fucking incredible. And here's the thing. You can have the same habits as different people and they will affect you differently, right? Like I talk about you can choose the habits that you want and make your peace with the results, or you can choose the results you want and then you got to make your peace with the effort required to get there. Both options are totally fine. It's the peace part that matters, right? So here's the thing. I have healthy habits that I absolutely love and the results are not always the same, right? As I get older, this is maybe what you found. The results of those particular set of habits are different than when they were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So now my question, my area for growth is to be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. My effort to results ratio is changing as I get older. So do I want to up my effort to get the same results as I had before?
Nope.
Or do I want to keep at this effort, which feels great to me, and make my peace with the results? And so this is the beautiful question that I get to deal with.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yes, because it's not all cut the same the older that you get. So
That's it. And that's I think we are done a disservice on that when people say like, oh, what's Jennifer Aniston's workout? What's she doing? Right.
Yeah.
And then you think if you do the Jennifer Aniston workout that you're going to become Jennifer Aniston. That's just not true. Right. Different genetics, different person, totally different person. And it's the same thing for you. You're a different person than you were 10 years ago. So you can't say like, well, when I did my marathon training 10 years ago, then I was this weight. And when I went, my last low carb diet works like this and blah, blah, blah. You're a different person now. So it's all fine. It's all great because you can still choose the level of effort that you want for the results. You just got to know that your effort to results ratio and your chart is going to change throughout your life. And so again, you can choose the effort or you can choose the result. You just have to make your peace with the other value there.
What a great point. You're really good at finding this balanced view. Is that a habit or were you always like that?
Oh, that's a really nice observation. Thank you. I would say, you know what it is. It's just, It's just having a massive amount of data through my online programs. I've just had thousands and thousands of women come through. And so you just start to see the patterns. And so it's not like, you know, if it was just me talking about my own personal experience and a couple of my friends or whatever, then of course I would be much more likely to go to extremes as individuals do. But just having this huge data set that I can see the overwhelming median patterns. And so I know this is the actual deal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great point, too. Like, and, you know, you just keep studying and learning. And it, the more we learn, I feel like the more I learn, the more, and the older I get, the more experience I have, the more I'm able to find that middle ground balanced view and understand wider perspectives, you know, and like widen my lens a little bit, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even toward myself, maybe. Mostly very much toward myself. So
for sure.
So you mentioned your programs and helping other women. And I mean, I'm assuming you help anyone who wants to come to you, right? For a program.
For sure.
So I wondered, you know, maybe you could share a little bit about what that looks like. If anybody is listening to this and like maybe wants to take some next steps.
Sure. Yeah. So my program is called the 28 Day Transformation. It's specifically for women in their 40s and 50s.
Oh,
and
cool.
Oh my gosh, I think it's the best program out there, having done all the programs and experimented with them. So it's done live. We start next Monday. And so
you're
in the cohort. Yes. Everyone starts with the same. We go through we have a process. The whole thing is very planned out. So we start, for example, with a little bit of an elimination, and then it adds on various foods as you go throughout the month. So you really figure out what your body is responding to now, because as we get older, we get more sensitivities, blah, blah, blah. And this is kind of a long time since people have really done like a full reset and build up. So that's a nutrition system, which is designed by a dietitian. It's not like hocus pocus. It's really scientifically built out. And then the training program, I am going to take you from yin yoga to motherfucking CrossFit. And I'm going to do that in a month. And it's amazing.
It.
And so it's like in their at-home workouts, they're only half an hour. You do them three times a week. And all you need is a resistance band, and you are going to get more like lean muscle strength. Like the results that people have in 28 days from day one to day 28, like it is like a hockey stick growth. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God. It's sold.
It's so good.
How much does this cost?
Well, I'm just thinking here. I'm gonna talk to my team about giving your people a discount.
Oh, maybe
I'll have them do. Yeah, I'll have them do up a link at fitfeelsgood.com/Amy, and we'll give you a sweet discount.
Okay, lovely.
It's also you have access to dietitians, trainers. It's all like live coach. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah,
awesome.
And habit coaching.
And habit coaching too. Oh, that's so great because
the psychology is everything.
It really is. I mean, habits have been something that I've just I was super diligent for a long time and disciplined on a lot of things, like, you know, just my daily routine and things like that, meditation, whatever else. And now it's just like it is me, you know, and like I don't have to be so diligent anymore because it just comes like brushing your teeth. And so that's really beautiful.
There's so much freedom in that.
There's so much freedom. And it's just
you
been
have to
such
try.
A learning of the paradoxes of like the diligence and then the freedom that it leads to. So I'm just a huge fan of habits and all that. That's why I said you're pretty much preaching to the choir with your book. It was like such beautiful reminders of all the things that I really truly believe. And on top of that, just really enlightening in so many ways. So
awesome.
I love it. It is awesome. It's fucking way awesome. Congratulations on the good stuff that you're putting out and the lives that you're changing. I think that's really incredible.
What did we miss?
What do we need to talk about that we might have missed today?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was also going to just quickly say about my podcast. If you're interested in this stuff, I've got a podcast is kind of new. It's a year old. It's already in the top 5% of podcasts, though, which I'm super proud about.
You should be.
Thank you. Yeah. It's called Goals, Grit, and Some Woo-Woo Shit. And so we talk about...
How did I not know this? That's awesome. Yay.
We talk about people have achieved amazing goals, and they tell you how you can do it too. We talk about having the grit to persevere when you get obstacles in the way, as you always will. And we talk about all the woo-woo mindset manifestation stuff that's kind of, I believe, really the key to making this shit happen.
It is, because you are already talking about, you know, flipping all that on its head and really coming from that place of self-love and saying the words and all those things that are so, so important. So, oh, that's incredible. Good. Everybody should just tune into that because they're going to get a lot more information and a lot more of your own wit. So, which I have personally enjoyed. So what would you like to leave everyone with as we wrap up today?
I mean, just if you're listening to this and you are having feelings of beating yourself up, of looking down and being like, oh my God, I can't believe this can be my belly, and you hate every fucking picture of yourself and you hate the way your clothes look on you, and you are having thoughts like, well, I guess it's just going to be now that I'm in perimenopause or menopause or blah, blah, blah. Like, I just want to say, oh, my sweet, sweet friend, it doesn't have to be that way. You can still get in the best fucking shape of your life, and it is not going to be as hard as you think it's going to be. And there is so much potential for you. Please do not give up. Don't give up on yourself. You are so fucking awesome, and you can make these changes right fucking now. Right fucking now. It is so accessible to you. If you have any questions, if you want to reach out to me on Instagram too, I am so open and ready to chat and help people. It's at Una Duncan. I just want to say it's so possible. It's so possible. I've seen it happen for so many people, and I don't want you to give up. And I know it feels like shit. I know exactly where you're at right now. And there is a whole different world out there. It's waiting for you. Just ready for you whenever you're ready.
Oh, I love that. And I love that, you know, you come from this perspective of knowing too, because sometimes that's so important, having that experience and just understanding it, you know, from a firsthand experience. So sometimes we go through those things and don't understand that value of it, when really, who knows, you may get in shape and then you're able to better serve others because you understand it so well. So that's... actually totally. a cool thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to listen to your podcast too. So thank you so much. And you mentioned everyone can find you on Instagram, but also at Fit Feels Good, I believe. Or fitfeelsgood.com. Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. And everything will be in the show notes. And thank you for offering that to the listeners to take you up on this beautiful 28-day journey, which I am very interested in and serious about. So,
excited.
I know. I think that sounds great.
Get to train you.
Yeah. I really like that. I need to re-up my weightlifting and training. And so, I I just need fresh ideas. Like sometimes I get kind of I don't know.
Yeah.
A little bit restless.
I know. Put me in charge. Yes. Put me in charge for a month. I got this.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to everyone that turned up and listening. Please go follow Una Duncan. It's O-O-N-A-G-H Duncan. Yes. And it's all in the show notes. And Fit Feels Good and /Amy, fitfeelsgood.com/Amy. And you can perhaps join me on this odyssey of whatever it is, feeling good, feeling better all the time, because there is no limit. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you to our badass guest, Una. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.